now journey to the third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. In a world that moves quickly and rarely pauses, this commandment invites us to step back, breathe, and return our hearts to God. Sunday is not simply a day off. It is a sacred gift, a time for worship, rest, renewal, and remembering who we are as God's beloved people. By keeping the Lord's Day holy, we strengthen our relationship with Christ and allow His grace to refresh our souls. These recordings from the Catholic Files podcast with Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, are part of a special 9-part series exploring the Ten Commandments through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Each reflection offers an opportunity to grow in faith, deepen your understanding, and rediscover the beauty of God's law. May these teachings inspire you to live the rhythm of grace that the Lord's Day invites, and may they accompany you on your journey with Christ. And now, here is Father Sean Donnelly.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Catholic Files. I'm Father Donnelly. I'm glad you're here. During the season, we're walking together through the beauty and depth of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, uncovering what we believe, why we believe it, how it shapes the way we live. So, whether you're new to the Catechism or coming back to restudy, God bless you. Glad you're here. Let's start with a prayer. Dear Lord, please help us to be open to the wisdom that comes to us from what your Son has revealed to us and through the influence of the Holy Spirit and our study of these important truths. Help them to apply to the way we live, what we learn, and therefore to grow in faith, hope, and love. We pray these things through Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. I'm continuing on my journey through the Ten Commandments. So this is the third part of the Catechism. The Catechism has four parts to it. So the third part is the moral life, which begins with the Ten Commandments. So we're now on the third commandment. The third commandment is keep holy the Lord's Day. It is part of the first table of the commandments. The first three commandments of this table, or that is to say, this table has to do with what we owe to the Lord. The second table of the commandments, or commandments 4 through 10, how do we relate to our neighbor? So, keep holy the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is also known as the Sabbath, at least the Jews called the Sabbath the seventh day, based on their practice, and it's revealed, I should say, it's reflected in the way the story of creation was written. There are two accounts of creation in the scriptures. One of them was written by a priest called the priestly author. He sets everything up in a seven-day format in which creation was accomplished the first 6 days, then the Lord rested. And this was done especially to accentuate the responsibility of the Jewish people at the time to observe the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath originally was Saturday. That is to say, the Jewish Sabbath. Scripture very emphatically in the Old Testament speaks about the seventh day. The idea of creation being taking place over the course of 6 days. And the Sabbath day was also a memorial of Israel's liberation from Egypt. And the Sabbath day became a sign of the irrevocable covenant with God. And the Sabbath day required rest. People would not be bound to servile work. They would be able to take a day of rest accordingly. Now, in the gospel, Jesus comes along, and he was accused of violating the Sabbath, which, of course, was bad because Jesus had the authority no one else ever had to perfect what the Jewish religion was all about. So Jesus did not fail to uphold the respect for the holiness of the Sabbath day. Mark 1:21, you can look that up. But he gives the interpretation of the commandment, keep holy the Lord's day, its authentic and authoritative interpretation. As he says, Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So he put things in right perspective or in right priority. And the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, Son of God, as we call him, is Lord even of the Sabbath. So he had the authority to make whatever changes needed to be made regarding how to observe the day. And, you know, again, Jesus was unjustly assailed for what he was accused of working. Sure. He healed people in the synagogue and did other things. He came to the help of people. But even so, his enemies wanted to hold something against him. So they used the Sabbath day as their excuse to try to attack Jesus, for example. Now, we move ahead and we find Jesus dies on Friday. He's in his tomb. He's hustled off the cross, ironically, so people wouldn't break the Sabbath, because the Jewish day started the evening before. He's put into the tomb, and so he's in his tomb, Holy Saturday, which was the Sabbath day for the Jews. And then Jesus rises from the dead on the following day, which is Sunday. So the day of the Lord for us is no longer Saturday, it is Sunday, because it's the day of resurrection, which is the beginning of a new creation. Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, because it is the first day. The day of Christ's resurrection recalls the first creation, because it is the eighth day following the Sabbath. It symbolizes the new creation ushered in by Christ's resurrection. Here's what St. Justin Martyr said. He was the one who gave us the earliest description of the Mass, which I believe dates to 150. Justin Martyr, he's talking about coming together on Sunday. We all gather on the day of the sun, for it is the first day after the Jewish Sabbath, but also the first day when God, separating matter from darkness, made the world, and on this same day, Jesus Christ, our Savior, rose from the dead. Very important. The Sunday, then, is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. Sunday is expressly distinguished from the Sabbath, which it follows chronologically every week. For Christians, its ceremonial observance replaces that of the Sabbath. In Christ's Passover, Sunday fulfills the spiritual truth of the Jewish Sabbath and announces man's eternal rest in God. For worship under the law prepared for the mystery of Christ, and what was done there prefigured some aspect of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Those who lived according to the old order of things have come to a new hope, no longer keeping the Sabbath, but the Lord's Day, meaning Sunday, of course, in which our life is blessed by Him and by His death. The celebration of Sunday observes the moral commandment inscribed by nature in the human heart to render to God an outward, visible, public, and regular worship as a sign of His universal beneficence to all. Sunday worship fulfills the moral command of the Old Covenant, taking up its rhythm and spirit in the weekly celebration of the Creator and Redeemer of His people. The Sunday Eucharist. The Sunday celebration of the Lord's Day and His Eucharist is at the heart of the Church's life. Sunday is the day in which the Paschal Mystery is celebrated in light of the Apostolic Tradition, and it is to be observed as the foremost holy day of obligation in the Universal Church. This practice of the Christian assembly dates from the beginnings of the Apostolic Age. The letter to the Hebrews reminds the faithful not to neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25. So apparently there were people, even in the earliest days of the church, who were failing to come together on Sunday, but they were supposed to. So, the Lord's Day, coming to Mass, very, very important. Sunday obligation. The precept of the church specifies the law of the Lord more precisely. On Sundays and holy days of obligation, the faithful are bound to participate in the Mass. That's from canon law. The precept of participating in the Mass is satisfied by assistance at a Mass which is celebrated anywhere in a Catholic rite, either on the holy day or on the evening of the preceding day. The Sunday Eucharist is the foundation and confirmation of all Christian practice. For this reason, the faithful are obliged to participate in the Eucharist on days of obligation unless excused for a serious reason, for example, illness or the care of infants, or dispensed by their own pastor. Now, those who deliberately fail in this obligation commit a grave sin. So people who are able to come to Mass, who could come, decide not to. We're talking about Catholics, of course. It's grounds for mortal sin. Participation in the communal celebration of the Sunday Eucharist is a testimony of belonging and being faithful to Christ and to His Church. The faithful give witness by this to their communion in faith and charity. Together they testify to God's holiness and their hope of salvation. They strengthen one another under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So, the Mass, Sunday Mass. Good Catholics live from Sunday to Sunday. It is the Lord's Day. It is the day of resurrection. It is our Sabbath. It is also a day of grace and rest from work. So, on Sundays and other holy days of obligation, the faithful are to refrain from engaging in work or activities that hinder the worship owed to God, the joy proper of the Lord's Day, the performance of the works of mercy, and the appropriate relaxation of mind and body. No longer are there specific, is there a specific list of things people are not supposed to do. At one time, all servile work was excluded relative to how to observe the Sunday rest. These specific types of servile work are not enumerated. It's more of the keeping the spirit of the Lord's Day. One writer points out, for example, a person who might spend all week behind a desk, and when he's home on the weekends, he enjoys gardening or certain kinds of manual labor, that he's not breaking the Sabbath. Now, if he doesn't go to church, or he works all day to the point where, you know, he's not fulfilling his obligation to the Lord, he doesn't go to church, he's not worshiping God in that respect, he's not really taking a day of rest at all for relaxation of mind and body, or performing any work of mercy, but he's treating it as just another day, he's violating the Sabbath rest. One of the things Pope John Paul said, and he wrote a document called Dies Domini, which means Day of the Lord. But he was urging governments to maintain a seven-day week, including Sundays, a day of rest, which might seem kind of strange that he would have to say anything, but during the French Revolution, the so-called revolutionary government, and what they did was they tried to overthrow the influence of the Catholic Church in France. The revolutionary government wanted to come up with a 10-day week, including in that 10 days, a half day for rest. In other words, to get away from Sunday, the Lord's Day. This was the kind of thing the Pope was speaking about, I mean, implying that this is not a good thing. We need a 7-day week with Sunday as a day of rest. Now, sometimes people, through no fault of their own, they have to work on Sundays. I mean, in other words, they lose their jobs or whatever. Well, the best thing for them is to go, is find a time they can go to Mass. I mean, go to Mass the night before at a church, Saturday Vigil Mass. But try, you know, and if worse comes to worse, if somebody's working terrible hours all weekend and this and that, there's nothing much you can do about it. Well, go to Mass during the week. And again, this is an exceptional thing. See one's priest, talk to him about it. Now, watching the Mass on a live stream or on television, it's not a bad thing, but that doesn't fulfill an obligation to be at Mass. Now, mind you, people who are homebound or they're disabled, that's all they can do. We understand that. They're not obligated to come. They can't really go out in public. But I would say you can watch the Mass if you're in that situation. And then notify your parish priest, and he can bring communion to you at home, which I do. My deacons and I go to visit people who are homebound that we know about. Sometimes we don't know anything or about a certain person. Nobody tells us. We don't really know. And then if you ever become homebound, please be open to taking the sacraments. I mean, there are people, they get older, who were going to church all along, and all of a sudden is they don't want the Eucharist anymore. I don't understand it. I'm just praying for people. Just maintain your Catholic faith. I mean, you know, even if one loses his health or he's homebound or whatever it is. And nursing homes, we go to nursing homes with Holy Communion, and you know, I have masses in several places, assisted living places, a couple of nursing homes. It's for the Catholic patients. I mean, other patients come too, but you know, try to reach out to people as much as we can. It's pretty important. And parents, you know, raise your children in the faith, which means go to church yourselves and bring the children. I mean, at least when they're school aged, when they're tiny, they don't have to go. But when they get older, school age, they should become used to going to Mass with the family. So, the Lord's Day. Keep holy the Lord's Day. It's an important responsibility. It's a very good thing to do. And thanks be to God, you know, we have the freedom to do it. I remember hearing a particular, I think it was Cuba, where, you know, communists took over the government. And you were very much discouraged from going to Mass. They had Catholic churches functioning there, but if somebody saw you at Mass on Sunday, you might lose your job on a Monday, which of course is terrible. But so take advantage of freedoms and the opportunities that we have. It's good to belong to a parish. Sign up for a parish. Now you can satisfy your Sunday obligation any legitimately erected Catholic church or oratory. So, you know, it's not about going to a certain parish, but it's always a good idea to belong to a parish to help support it. And then, the pastor will get to know you and so forth, as opposed to traveling around all the time. Now, if somebody has, goes from place to place for whatever reason, but that's one thing. Go to the Catholic parish nearest to you. For most people, it's within the territory of where they live most of the time. So the Eucharist is the heart of the church's life. Without the Mass, Sunday Mass, there wouldn't be a church. It wouldn't exist. And thanks be to God there is a church, because it is in and through the church that Jesus conducts his most of his work in the continuing redemption of the world. And continuing redemption means saving the world from the ravages of sin and death, as many people as possible. And come to Mass with prayers in one's pocket, so to speak, and unite the prayers with the offering that the priest makes at the altar. That is to say, Jesus himself, who's the high priest, and his prayers he brings to the Father, but he will bring our prayers with him. Participate in the Mass. Many people do. Some people don't. They're like statues. It's kind of strange to me, but when the priest says, "The Lord be with you," and the people should say, "And with your spirit," participate in the Mass. That means we're taking ownership for it. We're making ourselves a part of it. And it's a good thing. And the more people, the better, come to Mass. And the more people come to Mass, the better for the world. If it weren't for the Mass, we'd be in big trouble, probably, in the world. The world, of course, is affected by sin enough as it is. We have 400,000 priests in the world, something like 16,000 Masses per hour around the clock. If we didn't have those Masses going on, who knows how things would be in the world. Padre Pio said that it would be like a day without the sun if there weren't any Masses, meaning like a disaster in our solar system. The world wouldn't last. And it's the kind of thing you never really hear about. The news media couldn't care less about the church or the Mass or anything else, only sort of put it down. But it's very, very important. And then pray for vocations of the priesthood. I'm sure many of you do, because we need men to come up the ranks and continue. Without the priest, there's no Mass. And we need priests. It's very, very important. So God bless all of you. Thank you for listening. The Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We sincerely hope and pray that this recording from the Catholic Files podcast, featuring Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, reflecting on the Ten Commandments through the teachings of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, draws you ever closer to the loving heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments are not merely rules. They are a roadmap to holiness, a guide to living in right relationship with God and with our neighbors. As you listen, allow your heart to be open to God's grace. Let His truth illuminate your mind, and let His love transform your soul. For those seeking to deepen their faith, we invite you to explore more of the Catholic Files weekly podcast with Father Donnelly at www.iccmadison.com. And whether you are near or far, know that the Church, Christ's living body, is always welcoming you to encounter Him through the celebration of the Holy Mass. Please download these audios to share with your friends and family. May these reflections on the Ten Commandments inspire you to live with integrity, humility, and joy. And always carry in your heart the greatest of all commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole mind. Let this commandment guide your actions, your thoughts, and your prayers each day. For in loving God fully, we learn to love others as He has loved us. Thank you for listening. May God fill your life with His peace, surround you with His love, and guide you always on the path of faith and holiness. May the joy of Christ dwell in your heart today and every day.